Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Headache Pill. So, we're a bit behind on these. The idea of the Headache Pill podcast is that it's meant to be like bits of an headache video that didn't make it into the video, okay? So it's kind of the offcuts, I guess. You know, it's stuff that I didn't have room for in the video itself, but I found very interesting, and I have no other home for it, so I can make it into this podcast format. That's the premise. Now, it's a pretty decent premise up until the point when I don't make videos for a couple of months. it's kind of now a podcast lacking in a topic. So, in lieu of that, I've decided to roll back to a video that I was working on, but I had to put to one side and instead favour the Winnie the Pooh video that is currently almost wrapped production as of time of recording. So, I want to look at what was the original topic for, we're in June now, so it would have been the original topic for April, the April video, because like I made the April Fool's Day video on the 31st of March, and we're now approaching the end of June, so there's been nothing for the end of April and nothing for the end of May, okay? So May was dedicated to Winnie the Pooh, and it's just taken longer, hence why we're now in June for that. But April, I was working on something else. I was working on a video about Peter Pan. Now, Peter Pan, or the boy who wouldn't grow up, or Peter and Wendy, it sort of varies whichever version you know better, but basically Peter Pan, right? I think we all have heard of Peter Pan. It's a play, it's a children's book, it's a Disney movie, and I think, you know, for many of us, the Disney movie is probably how we probably best know the character. But something that's always jumped out to me. So a couple of years ago now, I kind of rewatched every Disney movie in order. And I reached Peter Pan, and I was aware of the portrayal of Native Americans in this film. And just how fucking weird that is, to be honest with you. You know, it's a bit cringe, let's just say. So it kind of just baffled me, right? Because it's like, all right, so you have a fantasy story that includes fairies and pirates and mermaids and Native Americans. That's bizarre to me. Like, it'll be like if you did a sci-fi movie that had aliens and robots and Germans. You know, it's this kind of jarring real world thing. I mean, like, I know pirates were real, but pirates have definitely now shifted as to being these sort of iconography of adventure, right? There's a lot of fictional tales of pirates. Yes, there were real world pirates, but there's a lot of fictional pirates. You know, pirates are just now mythological in nature too, although they are based on reality. But Native Americans, that still super duper sticks out, right? Because that's a real people. Right? It's just a startling real world element smack dab in the middle of this fantasy. Pirates did exist, but like, other than, you know, the occasional, you know, you hear stories where they've taken over some like cargo ship and stuff like that. You know, they're not pirates in the same sense where, you know, they're raising the Jolly Roger flag. Is it the Jolly Roger? You know, the Skull and Crossbones. You know, and it's not got like the Yaharmites and all that stuff. It's not that kind of pirate that exists. Yeah, DVD pirates, I guess, that's another one that currently exists. But none of them are like your proper pirates, right? That's the stuff that we think of in the fantasy. They did exist. Well, maybe not the accent. The accent is a Hollywood invention. But like, you know, they did exist, but the version we have in our stories is definitely fictionalized, right? But the Native Americans are not. That's just literally, they just picked up a Native Americans and put them in the middle of Neverland. Why the fuck are they here, right? And so I wanted to do a little deep dive. This was going to be the video I was going to make. I was going to do a deep dive into this subject. And the reason I pulled out of doing it was because I feel like for added validity, value, voices, I guess, you know, to add more voice to the video. I wanted to speak to sort of, you know, Native Americans today and gauge like their feeling and on Peter Pan and the impact it may have had on them. You know, my gut feeling is that it's just kind of whatever. It's just old fashioned now, and it's just kind of like, yeah, all right, yeah, whatever. It's that eye rolling thing again, right? Yeah, it's not a point of contention per se. It's just kind of like, yeah, that was a thing that happened long ago, whatever kind of thing. But you know, I wanted that kind of an opportunity to speak to people and have them be able to speak in the video. But to sort of coordinate all that, I just simply didn't have time for. And there was no way of me being able to do this sort of in the time scale I had, because I always had my son's half term. This is something I'm still getting used to, my son being off from school and the amount of time, you know, I want to dedicate to him. You know, I don't want to divide myself between my work and my son. You know, I'd rather just give my time to my son wherever I can. But as a result, the work has to take a bit of a backseat. There's not much I can really do about that. You know, this is a pretty delicate subject, pretty sensitive subject in places. And, you know, I didn't want to half-ass it and, like, not do this right. You know, if I'm going to make a statement on such a thing in the form of a main channel video, I would like to make sure that I know what I'm talking about. And I don't want to come across as just this fucking uninformed fuckhead who's maybe just at best dumb, but at worst just continuing negative stereotypes. To do this right, I had to do this right. So I put the video to one side. But what I was going to delve into is what I currently understand about, I guess the question is, why are the Native Americans in Peter Pan, right? Why are they there? So famously, they're in the Disney version, why is the red man red, I forget, something like that. You know, it's, yeah, I mean, Disney themselves have a long and fucking weird history when it comes to Native Americans. I'm a bit baffled as to why, right? There's a Donald Duck cartoon I watched. This was back when I made the Donald Duck Daffy Duck video. And I watched this cartoon. It's about Donald Duck having a snowball fight with his nephews, who at the time, this was so early, but the nephews had Donald Duck voices too. They had that kind of like kazoo voice as well. They didn't have their... You know, now most modern versions of Huey, Dewey, and Louie have basically regular voices, right? Whether it's the DuckTales reboot or the original DuckTales series, you know, they have pretty standard natural voices. But back in this cartoon, this is predating even that, they have just the same kazooey duck voice that Donald does. So they're having this snowball fight, and it starts escalating. You know, they start having snow tanks, and they're building snow forts and stuff like that. It's just getting bigger and bigger and bigger. And that's just kind of the joke. It's just like, it's a snowball fight that has escalated and blown out of proportion. You know, that's the whole bit, whatever. But at the very end of the cartoon, just for no reason, right? It's just kind of, like, there's no setup to this. There's no allegory towards this. There's no thematic reason for this. It's just out of the blue, no fucking reason. Basically, Donald Duck falls into a snowman and, as a result, kind of resembles a totem pole. And then Huey, Dewey, and Louie dance around him, you know, patting that in their mouths, you know, doing a wah, 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 wah kind of noise. What, you know, sort of dancing around him whilst, you know, the music does the stereotypical Native American jingle and stuff like that. And it's just, well, you know, this has gone from like this kind of military-esque, like military snowball fight to just out of the blue Native Americans, like just a shot fired at them, you know. And it's like, what the fuck was that? Why did you do that? You know, and there's, I mean, that's one example out of many, many, many examples of like early Walt Disney just taking fucking weird shots at the Native Americans, who are consistently called Indians in this, just to be clear. I'm trying to err towards sensitive language. Like I say Native, I'm trying to say Native American instead, but you know, they were called Indians and so forth. Incidentally, just in case you don't know, the reason they were called Indians in the first place is because when the country was discovered, I don't know if it was necessarily Columbus, but it would have been around that time, right? When the country was discovered, they were on their way to India. They were trying to go around the other side of the world to try to get to the country of India quicker. And they hit America. And so when they met the Native Americans, they just said, oh, look, it's Indians, because they thought they were in India. And they weren't. But the name, for some fucking reason, has stuck, even though it is just wrong. Again, it'll be like just turning up to some fucking... It'd be like turning up to Australia and talking to the native Aborigines there and being like, oh, look, Germans! You know? So why are you do... Why does that... Why is that stuck? Right? So anyway. Putting this back. So Disney has a weird relationship with Native Americans anyway. But the presence of the Native Americans in the Peter Pan story is in the original book, which in and of itself is originally a play, okay? It was a stage play that was, like, written up as a textbook, you know, a children's bedtime book kind of thing, and then the book became the movie, all right? So that's kind of the circle here. So Disney didn't invent the Native Americans being in the animated version of Peter Pan, but they did make up the song. That's on them, and just the characterization, the me-yum, say-yum, you know, that kind of like the way that they supposedly talk. The amalgamation of tribes, because the thing about Native Americans, it's kind of one broad stroke, right? They're made of multiple tribes. And each one has their different customs, which just gets like smooshed together. It's the same sort of thing where it's the same sort of thing like in Aladdin, right? Where you've got those kind of like Middle Eastern countries that are amalgamated together. That's known as Orientalism, where you just merge all these vaguely Middle Eastern things together. And just come up with this kind of like this blob of that's vaguely foreigner, I guess is the idea, right? It can be grossly insensitive, unless it's handled right, and it's you know historically not that great. So there's all this aspect. Disney didn't invent it, but they certainly didn't fucking help. So we're going back to the book. They're in the book, right? So the book was written like 1900-something. Let me quickly Google that. It is based, so it was a play that was performed in 1904, right? And the novel was made in 1911, all right? So we're talking like fucking early 1900s, right? We're like, it's just fresh into the century. Let's get some racism going. So the idea of the Native Americans being there is because whilst sort of in this time period, this Victorian time period, there were like colonialists, hooray, traveling around the world and taking over other countries. And part of it included America. And there was this... these pulpy magazines that people would read in the UK, and they would contain letters and stories from people who are currently in these other countries, right? And so people and kids would buy this up and would just devour these articles, and they would read about these fantastical, glorious, mystical stories of faraway places, places they will never go, places they have never seen, right? And they're being, it's being described to them. And so part of that, it would include descriptions of the Native Americans. And so It was just very, it was a very popular topic to just, you know, publish stories about Native Americans and their ways and their customs and their dress and their speech and so on and so forth, right? And so people, particularly in the UK, I mean, this is kind of really a worldwide thing, but particularly in the UK at that time, this just kind of not just created, not just like had this really strange portrayal of what Native Americans were actually like. Obviously, the descriptions of them were unfavorable, to say the least. It created a romanticism around Native Americans, right? So people would be like, oh, wow, you know, to think that there's this faraway place and there's this tribe of people who are not civilized like us, and they're strange and they have spears and they talk to spirits and you know, like, it just, oh, and there's the peace pipe and they dance around a fire and they do sacrifices. All this stuff just came from that time, right, where people are devouring these pulpy magazines and these articles, and yeah, the Native Americans just became like utterly directly associated with adventure, right? Now that's the key thing. So in that time, right at that moment, people were reading these pulpy magazines, reading about Native Americans. They're losing their fucking minds over them because this is like the coolest shit they've ever heard about. And so right at that time, J.M. Barrie writing Peter Pan, he's like, do you know what? I'm going to put some Native Americans in my story too. So that's basically why they're there. They're there because it was a trend, I guess, to just put Native Americans in your work because people thought it was cool. People thought it was just the fact that they were synonymous with adventure. You know, they're imagining these colonialists, these explorers, right, who are going across, they're traveling the seas and they're fighting beasts and they're hacking through the thick forests with their big machete, and they come across this primitive tribe. I'm using primitive in speech marks here. And you know, they are strange and they have their own ways, and they're probably ungodly too. So there we go. We have Native Americans are basically adventure. Now, a lot of obviously what I describe of the Native Americans, and this also gets sort of conflated with sort of the native people of, like, say, for example, Africa and Australia as well. So of all these places where the colonists went apeshit, you basically get this amalgamation form of the savage tribe, right? The trope of the savage tribe. Yeah, every story you know has some version where a Westerner arrives in a place and it has a savage tribe, and they instantly make that person king. And eventually they're probably going to sacrifice him and to their god. Continue. That's the trope, right? And it was kind of born in this time. So we have a story that now has the Native Americans included in it, because they are synonymous with adventure, and Peter Pan is all about adventure. You've got the pirates, you've got the mermaids and the fairies, you have the magic, you have the free-spirited nature, you have a boy who can fly and he never grows old, and they have adventures, right? That was just kind of the big emphasis. This is an adventure story, and so the Native Americans just slot right in there. They're portrayed in the book, and I read the book as well, and like, yeah, they're not described particularly favorably. It is the typical thing. They are hunting the pirates, in fact. They're not really particularly interested in the boys. They are hunting the pirates. And so they're generally basically a good force. They're good guys. But they are in part fodder for the pirates to hack their way through, so the pirates don't kill the kids. But also, they are still, there's still something to be, I guess, a bit feared and respected, which is like, okay, I guess, like, if you had to, like, if you didn't have much choice when it came to that kind of representation, I guess that's the fucking best you can get at that point in time. That they are like, they're not the villains, but they are very dangerous. As long as you don't cross them, they won't cross you, is kind of the gist. And it's like, okay, sure. So, they do the stuff like scalping, you know, they're chopping off the tops of people's skulls, and they have tomahawks, and there's definitely a what basically now, not now, but like what is generally regarded as a slur for Native Americans is used in this book too. And so there's a lot, Tiger Lily as well. Tiger Lily is one of the main characters. She's a romantic interest for Peter Pan. He rescues her, returns her to the tribe. She really fancies him a lot. Once again, that's the whole fucking trope, right? Of the white man turning up at the Native American tribe, and instantly the women are like, ah, that is much more preferable to people of my own skin color. Ah, hell yeah, white supremacy. Love that shit. No, no, please do not. Oh my God. I was talking in character, to be clear. Oh my God. So, all right. So, yeah. So it has that too in there, right? Every trope. And he basically kind of invented the trope, so it has every trope under the sun for how Native Americans are portrayed in the book. Now, the book I read was published in like the mid-90s, right? Now, the book originally came out, as I said, it was like 1911 or something like that. But the book I read was a republication in like 1995 or 96 or whatever. But all that stuff is still in there, which is strange. There are other books that have had to be rewritten and retitled. For example, in 1939, Agatha Christie published a book called... Now, how do I say this in a podcast? It was originally called 10 Little N-Words. All right. Now, I assume you can fill in the blank there. And they were like, oh, you know, because it was named after a song, right? And they were like, oops, we can't use that anymore. You know, we have to change the title. So in the 60s, it was republished as 10 Little Indians. And they're like, there we go. It's no longer problematic. Wait, what's that? So then in the 80s, it was republished as... And then there were none. They were like, let's just stop saying 10 little anything, because every time we do, we fuck up again. So it's now called And Then There Were None. That's now the title of the Agatha Christie story, right? So they have actively rewritten, republished, you know, they've altered the original text to reflect modern sensibilities, right? When something is no longer acceptable, so like obviously it was never good, but the point of it is now that like mainstream it is no longer acceptable, they have made changes, they've adapted it, and you know that has been fine, right? As for Peter Pan, the original, if you go out and buy a book, you know, if they make a brand new 2023 publication of Peter Pan, it will have the same text it originally had in 1911. Because they are not allowed to change it. So this is the little plot twist in the video. Let me explain this. So in most versions of Peter Pan, when it's adapted, right, be it a modern play or another film or stuff like that, the Native Americans are generally written out, right? Hook doesn't include them. Pan doesn't include them. In fact, most plays, when they decide to include the Native Americans, or leastways their broader characters, let's just say, particularly Tiger Lily, because she's a love interest, so she's almost one of the main characters of the story, right? To get around this, they would instead of Native Americans, they're now like Amazonians, right? So they kind of just make them more of a mythical tribe, right? Just pulling it away from Native Americans, who are definitely like still a presence in modern day, okay? So in any version, they always alter the Native Americans, but the book doesn't, and it cannot, all right? Now, when J.M. Barrie died in 1929, he, in his will, or his wishes were, whatever, that he gifted the rights to Peter Pan to Great Ormond Street Hospital, which is a children's hospital, right? So any money that Peter Pan makes as an IP, all the royalties and profits go to a children's hospital. That is awesome. That's incredible. That is a beautiful gift, all right? That is the biggest W J.M. Barrie could have done, right? He seemed to just have a great admiration for children. He had adopted, I think it was like 4 or 5 boys when their parents had passed away. He was very close to their families. And in fact, one of those boys, Peter Llewellyn Davis, was the inspiration for Peter Pan. Not something that I think Peter Llewellyn Davis was particularly grateful for, as that followed him for the rest of his life, as I will cover in the Winnie the Pooh video. For the Children's Hospital, that's just utterly incredible. So ever since 1929, right? So, wow, we're looking at almost 100 years, right? Great Ormond Street Hospital has been just getting profits anytime Peter Pan is in anything. So the Disney movie, any merchandise, anything. Anything that's any adaptation, any publication, anything that's made out of Peter Pan goes to this hospital. And I think that's awesome, right? But public domain. So public domain, the rules of it differs from country to country and place to place. And in fact, it has changed over the years. Disney have done their absolute best to just keep try their best to keep Mickey Mouse out of public domain, but they are running out of the time for that now. So it is a little bit funny, but basically in the UK and Europe, the copyright for Peter Pan is meant to expire in 1987, which is 50 years after the death of the author. All right. So it's meant to be at that point, it is public domain, and the hospital no longer gets any money from Peter Pan. However, the Prime Minister at the time, who is Lord James Callaghan, who was the Labour leader at the time, he was the leader before Thatcher. So he made a proposal, and like a weirdly unique, special condition amendment to public domain, to copyright law, that just basically says Great Ormond Street can just keep the copyright forever. It will never expire. They have it forever. And again, that is awesome. That's incredible. That is again, just fantastic, right? I think, the hospital gaining all that money, you know, like that's nothing less than amazing, right? So that's royalties to stage performances, publications, audiobooks, ebooks, radio broadcasts, films, anything that uses Peter Pan keeps having to pay the royalties, and the profits go to the Children's Hospital. As I said, the law differs in place to place. It went public domain in Europe in 2007. And in the US, it is technically still under under copyright until December this year. But in the UK, all that money will go to Great Ormond Street Hospital. All right. Now, the problem with this now being in the UK, particularly in a perpetual copyright, means they are not allowed to alter the text. Because if they do, that becomes a modification. And that means it is not protected by copyright. And in doing so, they will just create a version that means eventually they can't earn money off that version of Peter Pan. Okay? So they have the rights to the original version of Peter Pan, but if they make a modified version, they do not have that protection anymore. So they are basically stuck. They can do versions that include like explainers, like, you know, like a almost like a disclaimer at the start of the book, right? That explains, oh, this and that. Here's some context for this sort of stuff. But here is the text unedited. And all this stuff. And like, yeah, they're basically stuck. They're basically stuck with this version of the book. And I think the fact is, for the book version at least, it doesn't really matter, right? Because, yes, they are not allowed to alter the book. But they, you know, anyone who makes an adaptation of the book are going to change that part anyway. So, yeah, that's the thing, right? That's basically the whole bit, right? It's they have a version they can't change, because if they do, they lose that kind of permanent copyright. But then they don't need to, because anyone who wants to do anything with it will change that part anyway. So that's basically the weird situation with Peter Pan, okay? It is on the cusp of public domain. It's basically by the end of this year, it'll be public domain everywhere except the UK. And there, any money it makes will go to a children's hospital. And so they can't alter the text, but anyone who does an adaptation is going to change the text anyway. So it kind of works out, right? And I think that's fine. I think that's an okay situation to be in. It's a shame to be basically stuck with this text. It would be nice if they could have done an updated version that is, like, you know, an official updated version. But, you know, all things considered, I think this works out fine. It is a shame that, like, obviously the Disney version has basically solidified and then, like, created a permanent fingerprint of the presence of Native Americans in the original text. You know, I think this could have been something that may have just gone by unnoticed. And, you know, in every adaptation we get, you know, those things will just be altered, and, you know, that would be fine. But we are aware of it, and the best we can really do is just learn from it, right? And just try to just grow and improve as people with those lessons we learn along the way, basically. So, yeah, long story short, that is why Native Americans are in Peter Pan and why they are still in Peter Pan. This is definitely a video I want to expand upon more. And I really want to do this. I just think this deserves time. I think I need to speak to, as I said, I need to speak to Native Americans and just get their valuable insight, input, and an opportunity to sort of express their voices on this topic, so that they can have a chance to sort of say how they feel about the subject. And I think that will just prove to be a better video than, I guess, the laundry list that I've just reeled off for you here, right? This kind of, the impact it has on the real world, you know, that kind of thing. So yeah, that's basically it. That's basically my idea for the Peter Pan video. And so that's your Red Egg Pill. It's almost an entire video, right? I mean, that's basically it. The only thing it's missing, as I said, is actually speaking to people about it. And, you know, some elaboration on little parts here or there. But, you know, this is basically the video. So if you listen to this whole podcast, it's essentially an entire edit video in advance, because I'm going to have to redo all this. So, yeah, that's basically it. So I hope you enjoyed that. I hope you found that quite interesting. And do I recommend the book? It's not super duper. It's very odd. It ends with like Peter Pan kidnapping, because like the whole point of Peter, oh God, this is a whole separate topic, but basically Peter Pan wants to take Wendy away because, he needs a mum, and because she's a woman, she just instinctively be like, yeah, okay, I will just clean up and tidy and look after you because I'm a woman. And then, when Wendy grows up and has her own daughter, Peter Pan takes her. And the daughter is like, no, it's okay. It's my job to mother this kid, this permanent child. And then when she grows up, Peter Pan takes her daughter. And it just becomes this tradition that girls get to look forward to. Oh, I can't wait for the day that Peter Pan just fucking kidnaps me in the night and makes me clean up his shit. That's the whimsical story of Peter fucking Pan. So I guess you have that to look forward to. And with that, have a good day. Bye-bye.